2. How to grow old. In spite of the title, this article will really be on how not to grow old, which, at my time of life, is a much more important subject. My first advice would be to choose your ancestors carefully. Although both my parents died young, I have done well in this respect, as regards to my other ancestors. My maternal grandfather, it is true, was cut off in the flower of his youth at the age of 67. But my other three grandparents all lived to be over 80. Of remoter ancestors, I can only discover one who did not live to a great age, and he died of a disease which is now rare, namely having his head cut off. A great-grandmother of mine, who was a friend of Gibbon, lived to the age of 92. And to her last day remained a terror to all her descendants. My maternal grandmother, after having 9 children who survived, one who died in infancy and many miscarriages, as soon as she became a widow, devoted herself to women's higher education. She was one of the founders of Girton College and worked hard at opening the medical profession to women. She used to relate how she met in Italy an elderly gentleman who was looking very sad. She inquired the cause of his melancholy, and he said that he had just parted from his 2 grandchildren. "Good gracious," she exclaimed, "I have 72 grandchildren, and if I were sad each time I parted from one of them, I should have a dismal existence." After the age of 80, she found she had some difficulty in getting to sleep. So she habitually spent the hours from midnight to 3 a.m. in reading popular science. I do not believe that she ever had time to notice that she was growing old. This, I think, is the proper recipe for remaining young. If you have wide and keen interests and activities in which you can still be effective, you will have no reason to think about the merely statistical fact of the number of years you have already lived, still less of the probable brevity of your future. As regards health, I have nothing useful to say, since I have little experience of illness. I eat and drink whatever I like, and sleep when I cannot keep awake. I never do anything, whatever on the ground that it is good for health, though, in actual fact, the things I like doing are mostly wholesome. Psychologically, there are 2 dangers to be guarded against in old age. One of these is undue absorption in the past. It does not do to live in memories, in regrets for the good old days, or in sadness about friends who are dead. One's thoughts must be directed to the future and to things about which there is something to be done. This is not always easy, for one's own past is a gradually increasing weight. It is easy to think of oneself that one's emotions used to be more vivid than they are, and one's mind more keen. If this is true, it should be forgotten, and if it is forgotten, it will probably not be true. The other thing to be avoided is clinging to youth in the hope of sucking vigour from its vitality. When your children are grown up, they want to live their own lives, and if you continue to be as interested in them as you were when they were young, you are likely to become a burden to them, unless they are unusually callous. I do not mean that one should be without interest in them, but one's interest should be contemplative and, if possible, philanthropic, but not unduly emotional. Animals become indifferent to their young as soon as their young can look after themselves. But human beings, owing to the length of infancy, find this difficult.